Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 19, verses 9 through 12, and I'll read the first verse and you'll follow in with me thereafter. But when the divers had hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one of Tyrannus. And let's mine 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both the Jews and the Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that his body were brought unto the sick, into the handkerchiefs or the aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us once again tonight. Lord, thank you for the special blessings that we've received this morning. But Lord, those blessings won't do for tonight. Lord, there's somebody here that needs exactly what our preacher is going to preach. And Lord, most of us will need that. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to listen with our ears and our hearts, please. And Lord, I pray that you'd just bless every part of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me read a couple of things to you. The title of my sermon tonight is explanatory of its content, of course, Separation for the Sake of Others. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." We, as independent fundamental Baptists, we have there's a banner that we would fly. We're not afraid of the fact that we believe in being separate from the things of the world. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm going to read another little passage of Scripture to you. It's got a little bit of a story to it. And then I'm going to talk to you about this thing of separation for the sake of others. Acts chapter 19, verse 9, it says, "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school." Now, Paul says, he separates, and he uses the word departs. Paul departs from a group of people. And then he leads the disciples to separate from this group of people as well. And that's the little scripture that we're using this evening. But I asked myself a question or two recently. What does separation from the world accomplish? What does separation accomplish for God? What does our separation from the world accomplish for me personally? What does separation from the world accomplish for the saved people? What does separation from the world accomplish for our church? What does separation from the world accomplish for baby Christians? What does separation from the world accomplish in regard to our ability to serve God? I asked myself a lot of questions about separation, and I began to realize something. So much like the rest of the Christian life, it's really not just about me. And separation is not just about you. We are to live our lives for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. And I think that sometimes we miss an important element in regard to separation. You separating from the world is not just about you. Maybe it's about other people. In Acts chapter 19, or verse number 9, 10, 11, and 12, here's what happened. Someone with whom Paul and the disciples had been fellowshipping had hardened their heart toward the things of God. We read about it. Even to the point that this group of people, the Bible says they began to speak evil, and it uses this terminology. It says that when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. That way. There's a sermon there in itself. That way. These people began to speak evil about that way. What was that way? It had something to do with the way that Paul and these disciples were living. that Paul and these disciples were living a Christianity that to the world would be considered a cut above to God. It's probably not quite what it ought to be. But they were living in such a way that now this group of people they began to fellowship with had become critical. The Bible says they began to speak evil of them that were living in that way. So, what happens here is Paul said, I've got to separate from these people. They don't believe the way I believe. They're even speaking evil of the way I live. They're mocking me. But not only did Paul do that, here's the part I like. Paul knew, as a leader of the disciples, that he needed to pull away from something, but then he influenced the disciples to do the same. Because the Bible says here that, but when divers were hardened and believed not. Now, these were people that were hardened against whatever that way was, and it says, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed. Now, that's Paul. He departed from them and separated the disciples. In other words, Paul said, I must set an example. I must separate. Then I will use my influence for the sake of others. Paul knew that those disciples were watching him. Paul knew that those disciples knew how to live. They were to live a separated life. Paul knew that that group that they had been fellowshipping with had become evil and critical of that kind of Christianity that way. Paul pulled out, said, I've got to influence others to pull out. And I think Paul understood that separation was not just all about Paul. Paul was not just doing it for himself. Now listen, I've taught you this, and I don't want you to ever forget one of the concepts of separation is this. We separate from something to something. We separate from wrong music to good music. We separate from the wrong crowd to the good crowd. We separate from activity in the world to activity in the church. We separate from having a filthy potty mouth and all the cuss words to saying amen and saying glory to God. We separate from something to something. Now, if a so-called Christian organization does not hold true to biblical truth, we're not to stay with it, we're to pull out of it. We're to separate from it. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That whole verse is about separation. Separation from the world. Now, here's the primary reason we're to separate is for God. Now, that means, in regard to you and I, God is someone else. If I say separation for others, then you're to put God before you. So one of the primary reasons you ought to separate from the world is for somebody else, not just for yourself. So if the primary principle of separation is that you separate not for you, but for God, you say, well, I don't want to separate from that. Really, it doesn't matter what you want to do. You are supposed to do what God wants you to do. You don't have to do it for yourself. You're to do it for God. So the primary principle in separation is not that it's just all about you. It's all about somebody else. Who's the somebody else? God. I'm to separate for somebody else. God. But that is not my full intent tonight. I want to go further. I believe that Paul here separated for himself. Now, I think it's wise that you separate from the world and you separate from worldly things for yourself. Well, you're going to get benefit from that. You ought to do it for God. You ought to do it for yourself. But wait a minute. The principle that jumps out of the Scripture to me this evening is the fact that Paul separated, but then he helped the disciples separate too. In other words, Paul knew he needed to do it for others. First of all, God. Paul knew he needed to do it for Paul. But Paul knew he needed to separate for the sake of other human beings that needed to be separated. When you say, well, I don't want to separate from that, the word I, that's been getting people in trouble all the way back to the beginning of time. I. That's why Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. I. That's not what I want to do. Really, folks, we're to do what God wants us to do. That's just bottom line. how we feel about it. It really doesn't matter how we feel about it. How does God feel about it? Well, the way I think. It doesn't really matter how we think. It matters how God thinks. But Paul separates here, and then he leads these other disciples to separate as well. Listen, you hurt not only yourself when you don't separate from the world. Not only do you hurt God, but you hurt others. There are people, listen, there are some people in our church that have some tremendous qualities that could help our church, but they're never going to be used much because they won't separate from the world enough to be used as a role model. But you have some fantastic qualities. You have some wonderful things to offer. If you just do a little separating from the world, you'd qualify to be a role model, and then you can be used. You're not only hurting you by not separating, you're hurting everyone that could come under your influence if you'd separate. Have you considered that maybe your separation might be good for others? Have you thought about straightening up your life for the sake of the people you could influence if you would do it? Have you thought about becoming a separated Christian, not for yourself only, not just for God, though I think those are excellent reasons. How about the people that need your influence? Others. Separation for the sake of others. What an unstingy way to live your life. There's something that I need to separate from, and your flesh likes it. You say, that's appealing to my flesh, and my flesh likes it, and I love it, and that's exciting to me, but I need to stop it. I need to stop what my flesh likes. Why? For others. Because it's not good. I can't help others as long as I participate in this worldly thing. And don't worry, I'm not going to call the roll on all the things you ought to separate from. I may do that next week. I do that often. The whole purpose here is I want you to focus not on yourself in regard to separation. I want you to focus on other people and their need of your separation. For instance, number one, separation tells others who we are and who you are. In Acts 19:9, it says, there's one little passage of scripture there, and it says, and separated the disciples. You know what happened? When Paul and these disciples pulled away, those people that were being evil about the way, they said, that group right there is different. That group right there lives different. That group right there. I don't see where Paul and the disciples were rude or crude with their separation. They just knew they needed to separate. And you better believe that group from which they separated said there's something different about them. Now, they might have had a bad attitude about the difference, but they said there's something different about them. They're different than us. Well, what happened there? See, separation tells others who you are. And others need to know what a Christian is and who you are. Paul did not want those who were true disciples of Jesus Christ to lose track of who they were. And when you don't separate from the world, you're losing track of who you are. Matter of fact, you're losing track of whose you are. You're not the world. You're Jesus Christ. And you are to be identified with holiness. So we need to separate. Why? For others' sake. Because they need to see our identity. And you need to see your identity. They were people of that way. That's how they put it there. That way. There are people that feel that way about us. You go to that church. You know, that church, we know what they're saying. We know what they're saying. That way, what does it mean? It means that Paul and these disciples have been associated with certain standards. And they've been associated with certain separation. They've been associated with certain doctrines. They've been associated with certain methods. And let me tell you something. I'm more than satisfied to be associated with the old time doctrine. Word of God, I'm more than satisfied to be associated with the King James Bible. I'm part of that way. That way. I want to be a part of that way. I want to be identified with those people of, you know, that way. They live that way. They dress that way. They act that way. Hey, they might have been mocking, but I'm telling you, to God, it was a compliment because God said, look, they're living in such a way, they're being identified by their standards and their separation. That's what happened here. Old time Baptists have always had an established identity. We've always been known for separating from ecclesiastical corruption. We don't just hold hands with just anybody. We're not trying to associate with just anybody. Separation tells others who you are. You know something? I believe other churches need a Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church to keep its standards and its separation standards up. They need that. I think all churches ought to learn to stand on their own 2 feet, but when they come to a church like ours and they see our standards, there are some preachers that walk away, and people walk away and say, you know what, we can do it too. We can keep the standards up. I'll promise you something, folks. All the basketball teams that came to our basketball tournament this weekend, and they heard how, you know, they know our standards, they know what we expect. The girls that are on the cheerleading squad can't flop their underclothes. They can't be doing rolls and showing their underclothes and bouncing all over the place. They're not allowed to do that here. And the boys have to wear shorts that come all the way down past their knees because it's wrong for a man's thighs to show, like it's wrong for a woman's thighs to show. And you know, every one of those teams and every one of those coaches and every one of those pastors that came and said, those people, you know, they're that way. They're Shenandoah, they're that way. It gave a bunch of them courage to go home and say, we're sticking by this stuff too. It helps when you see somebody else that's living that way. That's why some of you are here. There are a few here that you came from churches that they left that way. They left that way. You were looking for a group of people that you can identify with. Well, what that way? Separation tells others what you are. It's good for others. Can people tell what you are? Can people tell whose you are? Hey, make sure you help our church by identifying that way. There are some, they don't like our church because of that. They don't like that. I don't want to be identified that way. That's what the Bible says, though. They were mocked in the Bible for living that way. That way. True Christians are recognized by the way they live. Listen, I don't want people to want to associate with Jeff Owens. That's not my goal in life. But I do want people to want to associate with the standards and the separation for which we stand. Yeah, people need people to associate with. But they need people of like faith and people of like separation so that they can identify with them. Have you found your crowd? I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist. I believe the King James Bible. I believe women are supposed to dress like women, and men are supposed to keep their hair cut. I'm against rock and roll music and Hollywood and all the filth of the world. I believe in morality and purity and cleanness. I believe in ecclesiastical separation. I don't want to hold hands with the liberals or the people that are holding hands with the liberals. That's where I stand. That's what I am. Hey, and that's, I'm going to stand there alone if I have to, but you know what happens? When people can identify you, the people that are like you will identify with you. Others need churches that others can identify with for the old-time religion. And so, separation tells others who you are. Number two, separation helps our soul winning and keeps others out of hell. In Acts 19:10, the very same passage, the very same story, it says, and all they which dwelt in Asia heard. You know what happened? The Apostle Paul took a stand. The disciples pulled out. People in Asia started hearing about the Christianity of these people. And I'll promise you, it means there are people in Asia that started getting saved as a result of the stand that Paul and these disciples took as they were being mocked for being people of that way. Separation will help you to be a better soul winner. See, separation gives confidence to a soul winner. Confidence because God blesses separation. When somebody's not living for God and they go out and try to win others to Christ, there is a lack of confidence in their soul winning. Every time. It's that way. It is that way. The further you get away from God, the harder it's going to be for you to win souls to Christ. The closer you stay to God, the more confident you are as a representative of Jesus Christ. You see, separation helps our soul winning. Separation gives us confidence in our soul winning. Hey, confidence, because the Lord, He blesses and He'll bless your separation. He'll bless your separation with fruit. Not only that, you'll get confidence in your soul winning because you're separated, because people will respect you more. People will respect you more. When people know that you're living what you say that you believe, it's a more powerful presentation. I mean, don't we believe it? When somebody gets up and says something, but they're not living it, you say, You know, somebody that says something that they're not living, the crowd might even say, well, I don't even believe that. Well, it could be true. But the problem is, the spokesman has so tainted the truth by his behavior, some people won't even believe God because of cowardly spokesmen. That's not right, but it happens. But wait a minute. If you say the truth and you live the truth, you have confidence in the truth, and you're more apt to be a better soul winner. You see, separation helps our soul winning, and it could keep others out of hell. Look, when somebody looks like the world, but then begins to talk like the church, the world goes, I never expected them to talk about that. You hear that? When somebody looks and acts like the world, but then they go to talk about the church or the things of the church, the world says, from the looks of you, I would have never expected you to talk about church. From the looks of you, I never expected you to talk about holiness. Then that ought to be a slap to the face.
Yes, sir.
From the looks of you, you're not concerned about souls. From the looks of you, you're more concerned about Hollywood. From the looks of you, you're not really concerned about righteous living. So when you look like the world, but you talk like the church, the world goes, that's weird.
Yes, sir.
Like I said this morning, the world knows how you and I are supposed to live. They know how we're supposed to live, and they will criticize us when we don't live right. When you're down at work, man, and you lose your temper and you cuss, all the cussers are going to say, I can't believe you cuss. Now, every other word out of that guy's mouth is a cuss word, but he knows you're not supposed to cuss. He knows you're not supposed to have a toilet mouth. He knows that. See, separation helps us with our soul winning. Story in the Bible, man by the name of Lot that was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, his daughters and sons-in-laws were there. There came a time when God said, Lot, you need to get out of Dodge. It's time for you to get out of there. Lot went to his daughters and sons-in-laws and said, we're going to get out of here. Sodom and Gomorrah, of course, filled with the Sodomites and the wilderness and the filth and the parties and all of that. And God said, get out of there, Lot. And Lot went to talk to his sons-in-laws. But the Bible says this, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. Why? Because Lot was a born-again man that knew better, but he would not separate from wrong. And when he went to try to salvage his own family said, you're fake. Lot was real. He was real. He was saved. But everybody thought he was a fake. Why? Because what, he lived on the outside? You see, will you seem as one that mocks to your family? Look, we ought to live a separated life so when our families look at us, they say, I know there's something different about them. Hey, the way you live on the outside does not determine whether you're saved. But you ought to live right on the outside if you've got Jesus on the inside. I am not saying that we are not saved by our works. You know, I believe in salvation by grace through faith. But if it's big enough to save you on the inside, it ought to be working its way on the outside. And lost people can't see what happened on the inside of you. They needed to see the fruit of the God that saved you come out in your life. And you'll be a better soul winner if the God that saved you, that's sealed on the inside, is allowed to control your life. You'll be a better soul winner. I'm telling you, hey, you need to separate to make yourself a better soul winner. You'll be more confident. People will believe you more. You take some long-haired hippie with piercings and tattoos and acting wild with a rock and roll t-shirt, send him out soul winning and see what really happens. He may win somebody. Then you take a good, clean cut, decent man and send him soul winning. He'll get much more done. What? The world knows Christians are supposed to be different and they expect it. And they're more receptive to someone that has a God that's big enough to change them on the inside and the outside than to have a God and they can't even figure out what could have possibly happened in this person's life. I don't see anything different between you and me. That's the way the world thinks. Would you be one that mocks? Would you have a family member that will die and go to hell because you will not separate from the world? You know, the best soul winners I know are usually the ones that have the separated lives. The most separated lives. I think of Brother Tom Tennis. That man right back there is one of the finest soul winners you'll ever meet. Consistent. He wins soul after soul after soul after soul. Also, he and his wife are very separated people. I think there are people, and I don't know of anybody here, but people would be critical of Dr. Jack Hiles because Brother Hiles had standards. I mean, he had standards. And he believed he ought to live a certain way and act a certain way and certain kind of music. And I'm telling you, I've watched him throw fits. I mean, I've heard him preach at national conference and throw fits about things. People didn't like it. They didn't like some of his standards of separation. He also had been, he was responsible for more souls being saved in this generation than any other man. Why? Separation makes you more productive as a soul winner. I was at Brother Joe Cowling down here. He's a good soul winner. I'll tell you what else. You'll find out. Joe and Sarah separated. They decided to separate from the world. You say, well, you think they're tickled to death about all the things from which they separated? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. They know that to be the right kind of soul winner, you got to separate from some things in the world. I think of Mrs. Kane. Mrs. Kane's an excellent soul winner. Wow. That gal's always winning people to Christ. You also check up on the way she dresses. You check up on the way she is with her spirit. You check up on Mrs. King. She's separated. She lives different. She's different than the world. I wish I could explain it all to you. I'm just telling you, the most productive soul winners I've ever met are the people that have separated from the world. You say, well, I disagree. Well, let me ask you this question. When was the last time you won someone to Jesus Christ? When was the last time you brought somebody down the aisle and got them baptized? You say, well, I disagree with this separation thing. Yeah, and you're unproductive. When somebody starts submitting to separation from the world, God stokes up somehow their productivity to help others. You see, separation is not just all about you. It's all about others. First of all, it's all about God. The separation, separation tells others who we are, what we are, and it's an identifier of the holiness of God. Secondly, separation helps our soul winning. Number three, separation is a prerequisite for miracle working power. In this passage of Scripture, the Bible says Paul separated. He pulled the disciples out of these people that were mocking the people that were living in that way. And then it says in verse number 11, it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. God rewards those who will separate from the world. Don't expect God to do big miracles for you when you won't separate from the world for Him. God's not a credit card.
Amen.
Not at all. Hey, Paul and these disciples separated, and in this case, it was from the wrong religious crowd. So Paul and the disciples separate from the wrong religious crowd, and the next thing you know, God is working a supernatural miracle through Paul. You know something? Some of you need some miracles from God. Can I give you a little recommendation? Check up on your life and see if you're separated like you ought to be. See if there are some unclean things in your life that might hinder the blessing of God. Hey, you need something big from God. Well, God wants something from you. He wants you to prove that you love Him enough to leave the world behind and for you to say, the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No sacrifice is too great. Whatever God wants, if God tells me to separate from something, I'll do it. I'll do it without question. I'll do it for God. I'll do it for others. Maybe I'll benefit from it. But if you want miracles, the Bible says that Paul departed from the wrong crowd. He led others to depart from that wrong crowd. And the next thing you know, God said, I've got some miracles for you. Hey, you might feel a little bit lonely right now. You might feel a little bit left out because you had to separate from something. And God said, I'll replace it. I'll do some miracles in your life. I'll show you what I have for you. Hey, do you need a miracle? You need a miracle because you'd like to help some loved one? Check your separation. You say, well, I need a miracle for one of my children. Look through your life and clean it up. Clean it up. Clean it up. You want something from God. Clean it up. Hey, you need a miracle for one of your parents or a friend? Clean up your life. You know something I've noticed? Brother Bell, something I've noticed? I have noticed in the church, non-separated Christians always run to separated Christians when they have a big need. Why? They know exactly where the power of God is. They know it. Non-separated Christians run to the most separated people they can find when they really need something from God. Yep. That's how it works. Why? We know. We know what's missing. We know we're not dedicated to God like we should be. And I say to you, separation's really not just all about me. It's all about others. I mean, hey, you say, well, I want to live it up in the world. Well, you want to know something? We all have a flesh. We'd all like to live it up in the world. We'd all like to cut loose and please the flesh. Woo-hoo! That'd be fun. But we can't. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's about others. It's about lost souls. It's about identifying with an old-time religion that can turn America back to God. And somehow, the churches of America have to be able to associate with the old-time religion. Hey, it's not all about me. It's not all about my flesh. I don't separate and all the time say, yeah, I'm glad I'm giving this up. It's going to cost me thousands of dollars. Sometimes I say, oh, this hurts. Oh, but I need to do it because it's not all about me. Separation is more about others. One reason you're separating, why? So you can influence others. You're trying to help others. We're trying to give them a holiness with which to identify. We're trying to help them so that we can win the lost to Christ. We're trying to give them an opportunity to see miracles. Miracles. Number four. And this is my last point. Separation produces influence that changes the lives of others. Separation produces influence that changes the lives of others. Here in this very same passage, in Acts 19:12, last part of the verse it says, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You know what happened? Paul said, I got this religious crowd and they're almost mocking the old time religion and they're changing. And Paul said, I've got to take a stand. I'm going to have to step out and I'm going to separate as an example. And then I'll pull the disciples away so we can keep our identity as the old time religion and so that we can win souls to Christ and we can see the miracles that God promises the New Testament church that will stay separated. And then Paul said, this way we can keep changing lives. You see, the Bible says that as a result of this, people, their lives were changed. Diseases went away. Evil spirits went away. Separation is a sign of a changed life. Separation is a sign of growth in the Lord. People who separate from worldly things are the ones who help to change the lives of others. Worldly people don't change the lives of others. Why? They don't see the sense in changing their own life. Why would they want to try to change somebody else's? Do you want to influence others and actually see their lives change? Let me tell you something. We deal on pretty realistic terms around here. Anybody can come to church and sit there and listen to me preach. You know what you like? You like lives being changed, don't you?
Sure.
You like it. You say, yeah. Boy, when we see the drunks stumble in and get saved, and boy, when we see those wild people get right with God, oh, brother, oh, that's so good. Let me ask you a question. Whose life are you changing for the better? Could anybody point at you and say, that woman right there changed my life? Separation will help you to have the power and the influence to change the lives of others. Notice the people in our church who are changing lives are the ones who are most separated. Look, don't miss something. You're not just separating to clean you up. You're being separated to clean you up so God can use you. All of us that get all cleaned up, we're not supposed to stand around and stare at each other saying, boy, you're clean.
Yeah, me too. We're clean. You're clean. Oh, you're clean.
Oh, boy, we are clean. That's nice. We're clean. Oh, yeah. Clean. I like clean. You like clean?
I like clean.
Clean's good. Clean's good. Good with you? Good with me. I like clean. Clean's good. So what, just going to stand around and stare at each other? Look at how clean you wear a dress. Why? Because you're to identify with the old-time religion. We're to keep people out of hell. It's going to bring miracle-working power to our church so we can change the lives of others. That's exactly what happened here. Not so you could say, oh, look at me. Right. God didn't clean you up to make you arrogant. God didn't clean you up so you could flaunt how clean you are. He cleaned you up to use you. To use you to do what? To help get somebody else cleaned up. That's what the Great Commission is. The Great Commission is three parts. Go get them saved, get them baptized, then go teach them to do likewise. You say, well, I've gotten pretty clean, so what are you doing with it? That cleanliness will energize you, and it will give you influence and power to help somebody else. You weren't supposed to get cleaned up, so you come in here and sit in a clean pew with your clean wife. Unless you brought somebody that's dirty in, have them sit right beside you so you can help clean them up too. Separation makes you a good role model, see? You know what we need to do? We need to separate for others. Separate for the lost. Separate for the backslidden Christian so they can look at you and identify with you and say, that's where I'm supposed to be. You ought to be a billboard for the holiness of God, attracting people to the blessing of God and the miracle of God. Hey, clean up your life. Be separated for your children. See, your children don't need just hear it preached. They need to see it lived. They don't need you say, preacher, you preach it all the time. That's not good enough. Your living outshines my preaching. Live the separated life. Why? So you can change the lives of your kids. You listen to me. Look at me very carefully. I'll tell you why some people in this church, they'll come to this church, but their kids aren't going to turn out right. And I'll tell you why. Now, there's a lot of reasons, but let me give you one. It's because there are kids here at Preach, but the kids don't see it lived at home, and the kids can't figure out if it's real or not. You got a 10 times better chance if the preaching and the Word of God is being lived at home. Hey, unseparated people, they're not much life changers. Unseparated parents really don't have the influence and impact on their children that they ought to have. Unseparated bus workers. Hey, you bus workers, listen to me. We don't need bus workers on the bus route that's talking about rock and roll music with the other teenagers on the bus route. What good are you? We're to be changing their lives for the better. Not agreeing with their bad situation. You see, unseparated people don't change lives. Unseparated Sunday school teachers won't change the lives of their students. Unseparated preachers, so-called, won't change the lives of the people around them. Not really. It'll be an emotional change for a moment. Listen, we're looking for changes that last a lifetime. You see, separation is not just all about you. Hey, it's good for you. Matter of fact, separation shows you what you're made of. So if you got a backbone, see if you got any guts. Yeah. See, if you could say to your friend, I'm sorry, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. To show how much courage you have. Hey, it's good for you. And we do it primarily. Hey, do it for God. But God is one of the others I'm talking about. But we should separate for the sake of others. We should separate for the sake of others because others need to be able to identify with the old-time religion and that for which we stand. Separation will help us to be better soul winners. Separation will bring miracle-working power into your ministry. And separation will produce an influence that can change lives. You know something? You can't argue with changed life. Boy, you go to a church where the people can start popping up and saying, let me tell you what I used to be and let me tell you what I am today. There's not much you can do about that. There's not much you can do. You just think of the story of Lazarus. He'd been put in that grave. He was dead. And Jesus Christ shows up on the scene. And Jesus Christ raises Lazarus from the dead. You know, there are a lot of people that weren't around when that happened. And I'm sure that there were times when Lazarus would be standing around and people that had not seen it and didn't believe it said, I tell you what, I'll bet that church is just boasting. And that probably didn't happen, but I'll tell you something. The minute Lazarus stood up and said, now I'm going to tell you something. I mean, it happened. Well, how do you know, buddy? I am he. I am the changed life. I came back from the grave. Jesus Christ changed me. That's hard to argue with. Now, you listen to me. Lazarus had a change of life, and that change of life was very, very potent in regard to what God could do in the lives of people. You too were dead in your trespasses and sin, and Jesus Christ saved you, and you got born again. Now, people can't see what happened on the inside of you. You got to let it work on the outside of you so you can become an influence. There's only one reason why God left you alive after He saved you. One reason. And that is for us to get other people saved and to help change their lives. That's the only reason. Because if God did not have a plan for you to help other people, He would have snuffed you out the minute you got saved. You would have gone straight to heaven. If you're still here, God had a plan for you. What was it? You to clean up your life so your life is usable, not so you can stand around and let everybody see how clean you are. That cleanliness was to be used for productivity in your service to God. Separation is really not all about you. It's time for you to get off of what you don't want to do for God. Let me ask you this. What are you willing to do for others? Others. Lord, others. Let this, our motto, be even in the area of our separation from the world. Even in that area. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.